Now, we've talked already about the day of Pentecost and what happened on the day of Pentecost. God sent the promise of the Holy Spirit in power upon the church there in Jerusalem. And they asked, what does all this mean? Peter gave the response from Joel chapter 2, verse 28. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last day, saith God, will I pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and daughters shall prophesy or preach in his name. And so as we read through the book of Acts and we see them being filled with the Holy Spirit, we see them as a result of being filled with the Holy Spirit doing what? Who remembers? All right, preaching or speaking. They speak for God when they're filled with the Holy Spirit. Some folks think when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you roll in the aisles or you jump over chairs. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you'll speak for God. You'll tell others about Jesus. And that's why he sent the Holy Spirit in power to enable us to be able to speak. Now, that took place in chapter 2. In chapter 3, which took place a little while later, we don't know how long later, but I assume probably in a matter of months, Peter and John go up to the temple and to pray, and they find a lame man there, and that lame man is healed. And as a result of the healing, a great crowd assembles. And Peter begins to preach, and he preached to the crowd the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in chapter 4, some people were upset about Peter preaching Jesus Christ. And so they arrested Peter and John and took them before the Sanhedrin. We talked about that. And the Sanhedrin discussed, what are we going to do with them? And so they commanded them not to teach or preach in this name anymore. Now, Peter said something to them, which begs the question. He said, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken to you more than unto God, judge ye. In other words, you decide. To whom should we listen? To men or to God? Now in chapter 5, the disciples are arrested again, and the statement is made a little more boldly. Chapter 5, it says this. We ought to obey God rather than men. It's Acts 5:29, I believe. We ought to obey God rather than men. Now, my question. I have some questions for you this morning. My first question is this. Whom should we obey? God or man? When should we obey God rather than men? All the time. That's right. That's right. There was no condition applied to that. We ought to obey God rather than men, period. So we're confronted with that issue today. And it wasn't just in Peter and John's day. We're confronted with that issue today. If they were to come and say, for example, you can no longer preach against the sin of adultery or homosexuality in your churches, what should we do? Keep preaching. It shouldn't affect it, should it? Because we're here to obey God. All right? If they were to come and say, Baptist churches are not free to meet any longer, what should we continue to do? Continue to meet, right? Because we obey God rather than men. So what if the government says you can no longer discipline your children? What should you do? They call it abuse. But what does God say? He that spareth the rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him, what? Chasteneth him. That says if you love your children, you'll do what? You'll correct them. We live in a day when children lack correction. I heard on the news the other day, they were talking about large classrooms. And how some classrooms today have over 30 in the class, and they can't maintain order in the class because of the size of the class. But I can remember when I was in school, we had class sizes of 30 and 40, and we had no discipline problems. You know why? We maintained discipline. Now, I'm going to shock you, but I got spanked once when I was in school. I know you don't believe that. You don't believe that, but it did happen. I was in the ninth grade, and we were in homeroom waiting to go to the fifth period class. And we're sitting there in homeroom, and I reached across the aisle and whispered to my neighbor on the left. Because I whispered to my neighbor, I got a spanking. Because we had a rule, you don't talk. Well, I'm thankful for the ones I got. But the point is, we ought to obey God rather than men. Let's talk about another area. The employer says you'll work on Sunday. What does God say? Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Let every one of you lay by him in store. When? On the first day of the week. Is that right? Sunday is what day? Whose day is it? It's the Lord's day, isn't it? It is. So when the employer says, you need to work Sundays, what should I do? Now we're getting down to where the rubber meets the road, aren't we? That's exactly right. You do what God says. Now, I'm 74 years old, and I know you don't believe that, but I am, or I will be next month. But I've not had to work on Sundays. Now, there was a time when I was in the basic training in the Air Force, I didn't get to go to church for 6 weeks. But that once I got out of basic training, I was free every Sunday to go to church. Now, there were occasions when I did work on Sunday. That's when my ox was in the ditch. You've heard that, the ox being in the ditch. The Bible talks about that. But you see, that's a situation that you had no control over. You didn't put the ox in the ditch. It got there on its own. But it's your responsibility to get the ox out. But normally speaking, we ought to obey God rather than men, which means Sunday's the Lord's day and I'm going to be in church. But preacher, I need to support my family. I need to make a living. Yes. And God is able to provide you with a job to support your family. Amen? As I said, I'm 74, and God provided me with work so I could support and raise my family, and God will do the same for you. There's a verse of Scripture in Gospel of Matthew in the Sermon on the Mount. It says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." What things? Material needs, food, clothing, shelter, those basic necessities of life. God says, I'll provide them for you if you will put me first. Now, is that promise true? Absolutely. Absolutely. God will take. Reminds me of the song. You know that song? Be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. And he will. If we're putting him first, we have no need to worry. He's in charge. He's in control. The point is, we ought to obey God rather than men. Put God first. So when there is a conflict between what men say and what God says, then I should always choose what God says. Amen? Always. All right, back to chapter 4. Let's start verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem." And we cannot deny it. They're between a rock and a hard place, in other words. You've heard that saying before, haven't you? Between a rock and a hard place. So what are we going to do? We've seen this miracle, and we can't question the miracle. There's no doubt it's a miracle, for this man has been lame for 40 years from birth. And now we see him here, standing here before us whole. We cannot argue with that. So what shall we do? Verse 17, "But it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name." And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. What Peter and John are saying is this. You decide whatever you will, but we can't do anything but speak. What we've experienced something that's unique in all the world, never happened before. Something so wonderful, so fantastic, so beautiful, we cannot contain ourselves. We must tell it. Now, that's how they viewed the gospel. And isn't that how we ought to view the gospel? I can't keep it a secret. Even if I wanted to, I've got to tell it. Why? It's so wonderful. People need to hear it. You know what people need today? They need Jesus. They think they need money, they need Jesus. They think they need a car, they need Jesus. They think they need a house, they need Jesus. They think they need health. What they really need is Jesus. No matter what the need is that they imagine they have, their real need is Jesus Christ. Now, you and I know that. They don't. So our message is to get that across to them. What you need is Jesus. He'll satisfy you. He'll fulfill your need. My God shall supply what? All your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So I don't know what your need is, but I know what the answer is. We cannot but speak. We can't contain ourselves. We have to tell it. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. Peter and John made it plain. It wasn't Peter and John that made this man whole. It was Jesus that made him whole. And so they're glorifying God for the miracle that took place there that day. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. So when they left there, where did they go? They went to the church. And when they got to the church, well, what did they do? They reported all that had just taken place. And the folks in the church, when they heard that message, they became quite alarmed. And many of them said, well, we can't preach this message anymore. Is that right? That's not right? Well, what happened then? Let's see what happened. When they report to the church what happened. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, what was their response? Here it is. When they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with what? One accord. Now, there's that phrase again, one accord. We see that over and over again in the book of Acts. They were all with one accord in one place. We find in chapter 1 and again in chapter 2 and so on and so forth through the book of Acts. One of the reasons that church had the power it had is because they were united. There wasn't a faction over here and another faction over here and another one in the back. No, they were all one. And they all had the same purpose in life, and that was to get out the gospel of Jesus Christ, to spread the news that Jesus is alive and salvation is possible through him. So they were of one accord And when they heard this news, they remained of one accord. They lifted up their voice to God with one accord. Now, I want you to notice what they didn't do. They didn't go see the mayor. They didn't go see the governor. They didn't march before the White House. Where did they go? They lifted their voice to whom? To God. You know, when we have a trouble, where should we go? To God. Too often, when we have a problem, we look for a human remedy first. And when we've exhausted all possibilities of a human remedy, then, as a last resort, we turn to God. Shouldn't we turn to God first? The doctor says there's nothing more we can do for you. They say, well, I guess there's only one place left to go. We should have gone there first. Is any sick among you? Let him call the doctor. Is that what it says? What does it say? Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil. And the prayer of faith shall what? Save the sick. If you're sick, where should you go first? To God. The great physician. Did you know he's never lost a patient? So, when this issue came up, when this problem came up, where did these folks go? Directly to headquarters, directly to God. When they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. He said, God, you're the maker of everything. You have all power. There's no higher authority to whom we can go than you. Aren't you glad we have access to the throne of God this morning? We can go directly to the throne. We don't have to go through an intermediary, an intercessor. We can go directly to the throne. The Bible says we can come boldly to the throne of grace to find mercy and grace to help in a time of need. So that's what they did. I like this next verse, verse 25. Who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. Now he's quoting from Psalm 2. Psalm 2. And it says there, listen to what they said. Verse 25, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said. Now the word who is a relative pronoun referring to whom. To whom does who refer to in verse 25? Who spake by the mouth of thy servant? Well, we have to back up to find the answer to that question. So let's back up to verse 24. When they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, Thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant, who refers to the maker of heaven and earth. And who is that? The Lord God. So who's speaking here, verse 25? Who by the mouth of thy servant David speaketh. Who speaketh? God. And how does he speak? Through the mouth of David in Psalm. Anybody remember what Psalm that was? Psalm 2. Okay. So, when I read Psalm 2, who is speaking? David? Or God? God. What about when I read Psalm 1? Who's speaking? David or God? God. What about when I read Revelation chapter 1? Who's speaking? John or God? What about when I read the Gospel of Matthew? Who's speaking? Matthew or God? It doesn't matter where I read in the Bible, from Genesis 1:1 all the way through Revelation chapter 22, who is speaking? God. So when I read my Bible, is God speaking? And if God's speaking, what should I do? Listen. Listen. Who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Lord, I want you to see what they're doing. What they're saying they're going to do. Now, what would you expect them to ask God to do? Stop them? Punish them? That's not what they asked. What do they ask God to do? Look at verse 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. God, help us to what? Speak. Continue to speak, just as we have been. In fact, they're probably asking, help us to speak more boldly than we have been. Boy, I like that. Amen. You know what we need? We need folks today who will speak for God boldly. We're too timid. We're too backward. Well, I'm afraid what someone might say. These people weren't afraid of what someone might say. They were more afraid that, if anything, that they might be thrown in prison or be killed, just like their leader was killed not many days prior to this. Oh, if we just had the boldness these people had, we could see the results those people had. Would you like to see 5,000 people saved in one day? Or 3,000 saved in one? Would you like to see that? We could. By what authority do you say we could? Here's the authority. We have the same book, the same message, the same gospel message. We have the same Holy Spirit who convicts men today just like he did then. The same power that's available then is available today to you and to me. There's nothing they had then that we don't have available to us. But we're so caught up in the things of this world. I mean, materialism. What money can buy. We've got to have money. As if money was the answer to all of our problems. No, God's the answer to your problem. Let me ask you, these folks back here in the first century, do you think they had families? You think they had children? Do you think they had to feed them and clothe them and house them just like you and I have to? Of course they did. But they didn't let that get in the way of doing what God had commissioned them to do. And neither should we. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. And when they had prayed, when they finished praying, the place was shaken. The place was shaken where they were assembled together. I mean, it was like an earthquake. The building shook. Power of God was demonstrated. God said, I hear your prayer. Does prayer work? You know what we need to do, folks? We need to pray more. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with what? Boldness. Well, preacher, I just don't have the gift of speaking. You don't need the gift of speaking. What you need is the gift of the Holy Spirit. You're looking at a fella, when I was 20, every word I said was not just the first word, it was the second and the third and the fourth. I was a stutterer. I couldn't say a sentence without stuttering. Consequently, I didn't want to do much talking. My wife will testify to the fact I didn't do much talking when she met me. But you know what? God took that from me. And now I can speak. He gave that to me. He'll give that to you if you'll go. And they spake the word of God with boldness, and the multitude of them believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. In other words, materialism wasn't important. You know, my time is up, and the preacher's going to fire me if I don't quit. I wanted to finish this chapter, but I can't. We got two more verses. We'll finish it next time.